Is Seattle obsessed with its glory days? Pearl Jam's coming to Safeco Field soon. Ichiro's back with the Mariners. SeaTac Airport plays a message from Sir Mix-a-Lot. Is it fair to say that Seattle cannot get over the 90s? Seattle Met Magazine raised that question this week, and we have the perfect guests to answer it. In the early 90s, I was listening to Seattle DJ Marco Collins debuting Seattle bands on 107.7 The End. This is before every DJ in America was playing those bands. Welcome. Good to see you, Marco.
Thank you. Good to see you too, Bill.
And Karen Mason Blair is the Seattle photographer who photographed Pearl Jam's first concert.
I did.
Where was that?
It was at Off-Ramp.
At the Off-Ramp, classic. She shot to Alice in Chains' first photos for Rolling Stones, and her stuff's appeared on the albums of Nirvana, Soundgarden, Radiohead. Thanks for coming, Karen.
Thank you.
So let's start with some nostalgia. Karen, what was so great about the 90s in Seattle, for those of us who may not know?
Oh my gosh, it was like the time of your life. It was like, that was your local music. You would go out to see these bands, and then that would be Nirvana, you know, and you're like, that was it. And then you're standing next to Chris Cornell, and there's, you know, Kurt Cobain playing. And then the next week, Soundgarden's on stage, and then you're standing next to Kurt Cobain, and you're just like, these are our friends. And, you know, it was a small group of people, maybe like 200 to 300 people, was the grunge movement. And so we're all familiar.
It was super, super small. You remember, you were there too.
I wasn't there. I was just listening to you. I wasn't buddies with Kurt Cobain.
No, but you were doing stand-up. You were in the community.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I sound like a pretty big deal when you put it like that.
You are, Bill.
Why do you think Seattle got so famous for so many things in the 90s? Grunge, Sleepless in Seattle, Frasier, Starbucks, Baby Got Back. We were
hitting
big. We were on fire.
Yeah.
Why do you think that was?
I don't really know why it happened when it did, but it had been building up for a while. And I think that it might have had something to do with just a worldwide shift in music. And that Seattle was just ready to put out something that was pure, that was built on punk rock ethics. Mm-hmm. And it was just the right time.
Was that partly, you mentioned how small the community was, which I didn't know I was part of the Familia.
You are.
Was that part of it? Was that it was a small community at that time?
For me, yeah. When I first got to Seattle, it was 1991, and I was working. Obviously, I moved up here to start the radio station, The End. And I just remember within the first 2 weeks of being here, I was playing kickball in a muddy field with members of Mudhoney, Nirvana, the Young Fresh Fellows, and the Fastbacks. And I remember looking around, and maybe even a member of TAD. And I remember looking around going, this is the entire scene right here. This is so many of the people that are integral to this scene, and we're all just drinking beer and kicking a ball.
Was that part of it, Karen?
Yeah.
I guess contrast then to now, what creatively it was like in Seattle.
Yeah, well, I think exactly what Marco's saying. It's like we were just all together, and it's like I always say to my friends, if you're going to go to the top, you should take your friends, you know, like never go alone. And so in some way, we were just all building each other up, and there wasn't that competition. And even today, you know that
there wasn't.
No, there wasn't.
It was very different then for that reason.
Yeah, it was very supportive. It's like, you know, I would take the pictures, Jack and Dina would do production, you know, everybody was just all, you know, going through the same thing, doing the same thing with everybody. And
right.
So it was very collective, and it was just love. It was so much love and creativity. I just think for me, for the Seattle thing, is that there was a moment in time where this window of opportunity of creativity was wide open, you know, and then eventually it closed. Now it's kind of open again, you know, with the Amazon and stuff like that. And it's like, we just have a lot of creativity in our city.
Well, let's talk about that. This, again, the Seattle Met Magazine reporter, Darren Davis, writes, for a progressive city on the cutting edge of the tech world, Seattle sure does rely on its old brands, particularly in areas the city struggles to match its former glory. So I mentioned we've been talking about the music. Ichiro technically, I think, came in 2001, but you know he's back. And
right.
I mentioned Sir Mix-a-Lot being relevant and at SeaTac Airport. And
sure.
You know, Tom Douglas was a big deal then, and he's a big deal now. Do you think there's anything to this, the theory that Seattle is stuck in the 90s?
I don't, and I sure as heck tried to not remain stuck in the 90s. Karen and I have been friends for a long time. In fact, she introduced me to Kurt Cobain for the first time. You and Susie Tennant both introduced me to him for the first time.
How'd that go? Do you remember?
He wasn't in good shape. It was right when the record had really blown up and he wasn't in good shape. It was the Paramount show in 1991, and he didn't look well at all. That was the first time I met him. He got better.
Like not sober, not well?
Yeah, like not sober, and maybe he had been on the road for a little too long, and, you know, he had sores on his neck, and just he didn't look good at all.
Actually, that's going to bring up another question I'm going to ask you about whether the big Seattle culture boom made us happy. But
okay.
So we'll go there. But you were started. I was asking you whether you say you don't think we're stuck in.
No,
that.
I don't. I mentioned that Karen and I, we actually just did a photo show exhibition memorabilia show between the two of us, and I demanded that we call it Nostalgia is for Losers.
Uh-huh.
Because I try very hard not to be stuck in that decade, even though everybody associates me with that decade.
Yeah.
I have no problem. But the reason that I was good at what I did back then is I wasn't looking at what was going on right then. I was looking at what was going to happen in a year. And I'm still doing that. I'm looking to the future. But I respect what happened. And I respect those bands. And I very much am grateful to have been a part of it. But I think there's so many fantastic bands going on in this city now. And I think if we're looking at pop culture icons, we've got a ton of them that aren't from the 90s that are still really important and maybe just aren't musical icons.
Okay, what comes to mind?
Well, I mean, Russell Wilson comes to mind first and foremost.
Right.
I mean, even the 12th man could be thought of as an icon.
Absolutely.
He crossed over from football star to pop culture star, mm-hmm. partly because of marrying Sarah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. Joel McHale, I would say, is a pop culture icon that...
That's true. He was locally famous in the 90s.
And I guess
then
so.
And then he went big nationally
right.
since then.
Yeah. Dan Savage also started kind of in the 90s, but he didn't really get his fame, you know, as a LGBTQ columnist until, what, the last 10 years?
And it gets better video.
Right, right. He was responsible for that.
Yeah. What do you think, Karen? Are you as skeptical as Marco is? Do you think Seattle is that fair to say, we're kind of stuck on the glory days?
Well, I think, I mean, like, you know, like if we're like, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, like, who
this
wants
is
to
where
quit?
We butt heads.
Yeah, it's
okay,
so,
go
it's
ahead.
It's like, who wants to quit the 90s? Like, why would you? Just, you know, silver and gold, make new friends and keep the old. I mean, it's like, we don't need to get over them, man. We fell in love with them, and they should just, you know, hang out with us for a little longer, just so you know, Marco.
Okay, I want to ask you about that. By the way, I mentioned Sir Mix-a-Lot. He's not just in the airport
yeah.
PA. He's on mornings on 103.7.
Absolutely.
We talked about, you said it was those were great times, but I, as you well know, I was there too. Many Seattleites were highly annoyed by the grunge explosion. It was good business for you two,
sure,
but a lot of people in Seattle maybe say good riddance. It was a lot of exploitation and bands being overlooked and underlooked.
Yeah.
And
Seattle's never been a city to celebrate showboats. Like, they don't, that's not really what Seattle's ever been about. Like, you know, everything is sort of just kept a little bit more quiet here in Seattle. So, yeah, but I, at the same time, I think that because the town was so small, that it was really refreshing. I used to get calls from Kurt's mom on the air because she didn't really have a way to read how big her son was getting on the road other than what was happening on our radio station.
Uh-huh.
So she used to call me. I'd put her on the air. We'd talk about, you know, embarrassing things that Kurt did when he was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt's sister would be on the air with me all the time. The community really embraced those bands that were getting big. I think when it got crazy is when Fred Meyer started carrying Doc Martens, and you'd see these fashion, you know, Nordstrom would have displays in the window with combat boots.
And flannel
and whatnot, yeah.
We're asking whether Seattle stuck in the 90s with DJ Marco Collins and photographer Karen Mason Blair. And we have a great guest on the line here. We're talking about the Seattle Met story decrying Seattle nostalgia. And one of their examples was that our most prominent restaurateur is still Tom Douglas. How do you feel about that, Tom Douglas?
Thank the Lordy. That's what I say. Thank the Lordy.
In case you don't know, Tom Douglas is a James Beard award-winning chef and owner of more than 6,000 Seattle restaurants. A lot of people don't know that.
Every one in downtown Seattle I own.
Yes, every single one. He owns them twice.
Pop culture icon, this guy right here.
Oh.
Tom, here was the line, though, from this reporter at Seattle Met. You take a hot date to Eduardo Jordan's Solari or Rachel Yang's Revel, you take your parents to Dahlia Lounge.
Oh, come on.
What do you say to that?
Well, I don't know if the date's paying or not, but if the parents are paying, I say bring it on.
How do you?
You know, yes. it's funny. It's, you know, I've been going through this for a very long time. At 35 years old, I was called the grandfather of Northwest cuisine, and I got an offer from the junior league for a lifetime achievement award at 38 years old. Uh-huh. So, you know, you just never know how people perceive you.
Do you have personally any questions about whether you are resting on your culinary laurels?
Well, here's what I'll say. Obviously, you guys are too young to be able to remember or afford the Dahlia Lounge, but I will put it up against any restaurant in town, Solari or otherwise. And Eduardo's a friend of mine. It's not like that so much as, you know, it's like I don't have the same chef that I had in 1989 when we opened. That was me. It is hopping right now. It's the busiest it's ever been. And I think that it's really just, you can never rest on your laurels. You have to keep reinventing. And that's something that we do at all of our joints.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not just sucking up to you when I say that if anybody hasn't been resting on your laurels, I mean, if anything, when I go to a restaurant that has tons of different cuisines, I'm wary of that place. But you, mm-hmm. Tom Douglas, pull off a different cuisine over and over and over.
Well, we try. You know, we've been called just recently five years ago, best restaurant in America, you know, best restaurateur in America. Wow. So, I mean, you just never know. I took it tongue-in-cheek, the whole article. I got to tell you, I am so sick of the Mariners resting on 1995, I could puke. So I get it from certain angles. I'd like to see them kick some butt today. But outside of that, you know, they got nothing else to write about. And, you know, he's probably a rookie writer. Just they were giving him something easy to kind of take on and go on from there.
Sounds like the Mariners could pick up Tom Douglas. And though he's not going to be a day-to-day, you know, an everyday player, he could be good for the brand and maybe the occasional utility infielder.
You know, a funny thing about the Mariners, speaking of dating myself, Jay Buhner, when he was playing with the M's, and of course Randy Johnson and Griffey and all those guys, Jay was sick to death of the food in the clubhouse meal. And he asked the Henry Gonzalez to have me cater the clubhouse meal. So every day from the Dahlia restaurant, I would cook a dinner for 50 people, and I would take it down in the back of my truck and deliver it to the clubhouse, walk right through, and Griffey and, like I said, Randy Johnson, the big unit, and all those guys were there, and I would make the clubhouse meal.
Wow, there's a lot of energy in a coconut cream pie.
That
is Tom Douglas telling stories from the old days. Tom,
and here's the other thing I'll say. Yeah. You know, one of the things you get with an older restaurateur, an experienced restaurateur, that coconut cream pie, right, is just ridiculous how crazy it's become over the years. But we continue to donate about one a day to charity for auctions, and it has now raised over $2 million for charity.
Wow.
So ask some hot young restaurateur what they've done for society and tell them to go blow some smoke.
All right. Talking some boomer trash. That's Tom Douglas. Great to talk to you again, Tom. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
And also with us, two icons of the 90s Seattle cultural scene, DJ Michael Collins, photographer Karen Mason Blair. So what about today? First of all, why do you think for a booming America's fastest growing city, et cetera, technology forward, why do you think we are not churning out so many national hot brands and icons these days? Or do you buy that?
I disagree.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't buy that. I think we have Macklemore. I think that is,
woo-hoo,
he has become massive internationally. Again, I'd say,
turn my sound up, ricochet off our mountain. It's good medicine that she felt and would have been proud of. Says our city, town, pride, heart, blood, sweat, tears, I-5, north, south side, vibe, live, ride down these city blocks.
I think Marco Collins is going to cry.
I'm not going to cry.
About your city.
You know what I like about him, though? He does pay respects to this city.
He's all the time.
He knows where he lives, and he's proud of it. I mentioned Dan Savage, Reggie Watts.
Yeah,
another pop culture icon from Mock Tube, and now he's, you know, on the Late Late Show. What's it called, with James Corbin?
Yeah,
he's doing Glenn Beck.
What?
Now see,
he's from here.
Yeah, he's from here as well.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. You know, for a minute I looked up the word icon because I wasn't sure if it had to be just somebody that you idolized or if it could just be a representation of that time period. I mean, we have Mary Kay Letourneau.
An icon.
An icon.
Yes, of kind.
Yes.
Of a kind, yes. What do you think, Karen? Seattle. What about today? So, for example, you could say the affordability problem, you know, scattering people out of Seattle, the gentrification. I don't know, whatever the things that you see going on today, and you're still, you know, photographing and documenting. Do you see what's the state of Seattle for creating excitement and culture right now?
Well, I think it's happening. I think, like you're saying, it's just happening in kind of like not in a musical way. And I think that's where my heart, you know, my heart's kind of sad. But I mean, Macklemore, hands down, one of my favorite. And the city loves him, and and he loves us. And, you know, like Marco was saying, we got, you know, Russell Wilson and Chris Pratt. And I mean, that trifecta right there makes you happy. I mean, do we need much more besides those three anyways? But it's curious to me, but I think like Seattle's still generating a lot of stuff. And then the platform to create music got so much smaller, so more people can jump on it, which actually dilutes it. And therefore, to have another movement is really hard, because you get one song over here and one song over there instead of all the songs coming out of one place or all the music coming out of one place at one time, you know. So that's another reason why it's kind of stalled, actually.
Here's one more updated musical reference that Marco brought us. This is Sam LaChow.
Yes.
Right? And the track is Ambivalent.
I got some throwaway bars, you probably never hear those. I'm talking like De Niro, I got a throwaway phone. I'm not perfect, I once freed 7 monkeys from the circus. And I turn my phone off on purpose. I put my thing down, flip it, and reverse it. Like, you're a fair medic, bitch, from writing it.
Nice. A Missy Elliott reference.
Yeah, the Missy Elliott.
From our local. So you're big on the Seattle hip-hop scene, though it hasn't gone grunge crazy.
Yeah, I think everybody thought it was going to take off with the Blue Scholars and, you know, Macklemore taking off. And I think that it's healthy. I think that it's, you know, definitely solid. Now we have some women in the scene that I think are amazing. Gifted Gab is starting to blow up on a national level, and she's fierce.
I'll play a little of that as we go out. We got to go. I had so much fun talking about this. Mm-hmm. Seattle DJ Marco Collins, photographer Karen Mason Blair. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Great to talk to you about Seattle, love in the 90s and living for today. Here's a little Gifted Gab and Blimes Brixton.
Some might call me hazardous. Not too many that can handle this. I'm a hip-hop analyst. Let me channel my inner animal. I'm a cannibal like Hannibal. When I spit it, baby, it's flammable. Look, I'm going for your clavicle. About my capital was murder tactic. The actual.
That's our show. Thanks for listening. The record. There we go.
Black.
Mean the black sky looks dead. The record on KOW. Still loving the 90s. It's produced by Amin Al-Sadi, Allison Bruzek, Ajua Jim Abrempong, Jason Pagano, social media producer Bree Ripley. I'm Bill Radke. Talk to you tomorrow.
Black hole sun, won't you come? Wash away.